as if there's no tomorrow. So our Kidpalooza, we are going into the rest of this month with a focus and a heart on just getting loud, getting wild, getting crazy with our kids. Ain't that right, Gary? So we have VBS this week. We have our Kidpalooza Sunday today. A week from Wednesday is we have Captain Rex coming out. And I really want to emphasize this. We are going to turn our stage into a pirate ship, a full-blown wooden pirate ship. So Captain Rex and his crew is coming from Texas. And for one night only, they are going to host a gospel-based pirate show, okay? So we want you to get on the horn, get on social media, talk with your neighbors, and let them know we got some awesome things going on for our kids, our children, here at Westside during Kidpalooza. Can everybody do that? All right. So now, because we have so much happening this week, we're not going to have service tonight. Okay, we have a lot of people involved in working every single night this week, and I'm going into this week with the mindset of letting everybody take it easy tonight, having a breather so that we can hit the road running starting tomorrow night. Is that cool with everybody? All right, good deal. Well, today is going to be a family-oriented talk, so I'm going to talk with you. There's going to be some interactions. I'm going to talk with the kids a little bit, talk with mom and dads a little bit. And guess what, moms and dads? Today you will probably hear the shortest message on a Sunday morning from me. If you're cool with that, say right on. Right on. Okay. Because we know when it comes to kids, their attention span is 15, 20 minutes. So I don't want to overextend their attention span this morning. So basically, it's Family Sunday, and we're going to start things off. Well, no, let me say this first. We got our slide up there. So as you can see, our backdrop here, it says created by God, built for a purpose. And there's one thing specific that us human beings are created different than other human beings, not human beings, other beings, like animals. What's your favorite animal?
Cheetah.
Cheetah. Oh, that's a fast one, ain't it? So she likes cheetahs, and God likes cheetahs. God loves cheetahs. But there's something a bit different between cheetahs and us when it comes to God and us and God and cheetahs. Do you know the difference between us and a cheetah when it comes to God? You got some fur too, right up here. I got some fur right here, but you can't see it. The big difference in us being human beings, and let's say animal beings, is God created us in a way that we can interact with Him. We can talk with Him. We can have conversations. We can listen. We can hear. And so when it comes to animals, they don't interact the same way that we interact with God, and it's specifically because we're created different. See, animals has a body, right, that has fur on it. The Bible also teaches us that animals have a soul, but the Bible doesn't teach us that the animal has a spirit. But us, we have a body, some of us small, some of us big. Some of us in between. Some of us look hot like Gary. We have a soul, but we also have a spirit. And that spirit allows us to interact with God, have a conversation with God. And these conversations with God is what we simply call, can you read that, Jude?
Prayer.
So today, in the vein of being created for a purpose, for just a few moments, we're going to talk about being created for prayer. Because prayer is something that, how old are you?
Almost 8.
She wanted to put that 9 out there. She's like, almost 9. She's scratching for that extra number. Whether you're 9, 49, or 99, prayer is something that every single one of us needs to have in our life. And it's one, not the, but it's one of the most important things that we should exercise as a family. Amen? So before we go any further, let's watch a video today. There's nothing more powerful than witnessing a child speak an innocent but yet very faithful, trusting prayer. It changes mind. It changes heart. It changes perception. It changes faith. And we want to really emphasize and push the importance with our children, the importance with us as adults, and, of course, the importance of us as a family praying together. So I have a question to ask. It said in the video, in a descriptive form, what is prayer?
Prayer is when you talk to God and you open your heart to Him, and He will do great things for you. And He will help you whatever you're feeling, if you're going through hard times or like whatever. Whatever you need help with, He will help you with it.
Awesome. Awesome. My short answer was just talking with God, but she just went around first base, second base, and third base. Prayer, in essence, is simply talking with God. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, sometimes we try to get real spiritual in church, and we even get religious, and we try to get all theological and explain this and that. But in all reality, that confuses us more than anything. When the truth be told, God created us to have a relationship with Him. And in the conversations within that relationship, it's simply called prayer. So what are some things that we can talk to God about? Let's start with an adult. Tom, what's something we can talk with God about?
Attitude.
You don't beat around the bush, do you, Tom? Ex-detectives don't beat around the bush, do they? Let's see. Let's get somebody back here. Ezra, what is something that we can talk with God about? Good. What we need to go through with. What we need to complete. What we need to finish. How about from you? What can we talk to God about?
Your feelings.
Your feelings. See, we can talk to God about anything. Absolutely anything. Attitude. What we need to finish. What we're feeling. Do you guys talk to God when you're feeling happy? Yeah? Do you talk to God when you're feeling a little so-so? Yeah? Prayer is so simple, but yet so profound. And really, the truth of it comes out of the mouths of our children. That prayer is talking to God, and that conversation with God can be about anything. Not only can it be about anything, but where can that talk about anything happen at? Let me get over here. Koa, where can we have a talk with God at?
Church.
Church? Somebody else. Where can we have a talk with God at? She has her hands up. She's not bashful. Where can we have a talk with God? Where do you talk with Jesus at?
Anywhere. Oh, did she say anywhere?
Anywhere. Home run. Anywhere. Oh, okay. Don't forget you. Okay. Where can we talk with Jesus at?
At his wonderful place.
At his wonderful place? That's why she does at home, too. Don't forget about me. So, yes, conversations with God can happen any place, right? Any place. Does it have to happen at church, you guys? No. Can it happen in our home? Can it happen in our cars? Can it happen in the bathroom? Yes. Even when it stinks, can it happen? Yes. So this is the point. Talking with God is prayer. We can talk with God about anything. And we can have that conversation with God any place, any time, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation. Does God listen? Yes, he listens. So now, Jesus, he had some very unique places he prayed. Can someone just say out loud one of the places that Jesus prayed? Garden. That's a powerful one. Heaven. Actually, you are 100% correct. Does anybody know what the Bible says Jesus is doing right now?
Partying.
Partying? I like your idea of Jesus. Get that party started. Woo, woo, woo. Did that come from Matt or Dovey? Dovey? Dovey's quiet at church, but does she party at home? Yeah. All right. The Bible actually says, I mean, the Bible does say that angels rejoice every time someone gets saved. So who's to say that Jesus doesn't have a little whoo whoo party every time someone comes to the Lord? But specifically, the Bible actually says that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding or praying for you and I on earth. So you hit the nail on the head. So where's another place on earth that Jesus prayed at? Somebody else. Under a tree? Well, he was in the garden, so possibly so. Hanging out under a fig tree, an olive tree, right? Somewhere else. He prayed in the temple. Where did Jesus pray at?
He prayed on the cross.
He prayed on the cross. He had a conversation with his daddy on the cross. It was an intense situation. Micah, where did Jesus pray at?
He prayed in our hearts.
He prayed in our hearts. One more.
He prayed over us in our sins.
Pray for us. What?
Prayed over us in our sins.
Prayed over us for our sins. True. Jesus had some unique places, like these guys said, in the garden. He prayed while in the desert. He prayed while he was in the storm on a boat. He prayed while he was just having quiet time with God. He went to a mountaintop. He prayed. So essentially, the point is that Jesus prayed any opportunity he needed, whether he was praying by himself, praying with somebody else, praying with a group of people. And so the application to our heart and our life is very simple. Praying is talking with God. Talking with God can take place any time we desire so or we need to. I got another video to show you. So let's watch this second video.
And confused. But at its essence, prayer is simply talking to God, the God who spoke the universe into creation, who gives us life and breath, who holds all things together. This God wants us to talk to him. In the vastness of all that exists, he actually cares about us, personally, individually. How can we not pray to such a loving God? Wherever we are, how can we not thank him for what he's done? Or cry out when we need help, when we need forgiveness, when we're afraid, when we give thanks for our blessing or question where our next meal will come from? Why would we live a life apart from him? It's not about formula. How could any posture or well-chosen word impress the author of time and space? It's simple obedience. God has made himself available to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to trust in him, to acknowledge our dependence on him, to draw near to the one who loved us first. Approaching with confidence, because Christ has torn away the veil. He's washed away the sin that kept us from his presence. And we live in relationship with our Lord. And so we ask that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. That is prayer.
So I want to read a quick story about a man with a funny name in the Bible. And we're just going to look at how that can be applied to our life, and then we're going to end with another direction. And so who's a good reader? What kid do we have that's a good reader in here? You a good reader, bud? You read fourth grade books? All right. Can you read my Bible on my phone? You want to do that? All right, stand up for me. All right, you're a good-looking dude, man. Oh, don't act so embarrassed about that. All right, so you're going to read from verse 9 all the way down to where it, whoops, I messed up right there. I messed up again. Okay, you're going to read from verse 9 all the way down to when I say stop. Okay, so start with the word now.
Now, Jabez was more honorable Then his brothers and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I born him in pain." 10 And Jabez?
Yes.
Called on the God of Israel, and on a large
saying,
"Oh, that you would bless me indeed, be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested.
All right, give him an awesome hand. Man, you're reading like an adult. That's the Bible right there, dude. That like goes beyond fourth grade level. How many of you would like to be named Jabez? Sounds like a rapper. Yo, Jabez with the triple Z, right? So here's the story of this guy. He was born out of pain, and we know that biblical names had some type of reference to their life. So the idea behind his life is there was a struggle, there was a battle. There was something going on that wasn't so kosher. And so he had a conversation with God. And in this conversation with God, he basically asked the Lord to hook him up to bless him in four different ways. He asked the Lord to bless him. He asked the Lord to enlarge his territory. He asked the Lord to be with him. And he asked the Lord to keep him from evil, specifically so he wouldn't do any harm. Now this is such and then it says that God requested or gave him his request. Such a simple area of scripture. This is the only time we ever come across, we ever hear of Jabez in the Bible. But yet we see this man that just from his heart, from his circumstance, cried out to God, and God responded and gave him what he asked for. And in essence, God, as we know, God is not a respecter of people. If God heard this man's prayer when he was having a hard time. You guys ever have hard times? Then God can hear our prayer when we have hard times. And the first thing that Jabez's prayer had in it was, "Lord, I just want you to bless me. I just want you to bless me. I want you to create abundance in my life. I want you to open doors for me. I want you to give me favor. I want you to allow me to live healthy. I want you to secure and solidify my relationships. Lord, just bless me." How many of you can stand to be blessed more? You know, it's important that we just don't go around thinking, wanting, hoping for blessing. The Bible says we have not because we... So it's so important that we actually come face to face with God and put the request before him, "Lord, bless me." How would you like to be blessed? You don't know? Oh, I'm sorry. I caught you off guard. You didn't expect the mic coming at you. How would you like to be blessed? She wants to be blessed by the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. Very, very cool. Jabez also asked a very interesting prayer. He said, "Lord, enlarge my territory." In other words, and we can go several different ways with this, but for the sake of time, in essence, he was saying, "Make my reach bigger. Allow my light to shine brighter. Allow me to go places that I can't do, that I can't go. Allow me to do things that I can't do. Increase my area. Increase my domain." That can also represent what we're gifted in. "Lord, anoint me greater. Lord, add more giftings to my life. Lord, put more people in my life that I can minister to, that I can pray with, that I can lead to you, that I can be generous with. Lord, enlarge my territory. Make my light shine brighter. And then he went on to say, or ask if God would stay with him. You guys like to know that God walks with you? Kind of makes you feel a little comfortable, don't it? It allows you to go to sleep a little better at night, right? Well, this man said, Lord, would you be with me? And I think this really shows the essence of his heart. The essence of his heart wasn't just to be blessed. It wasn't just to have an enlargement of territory. But the essence of his request and his heart was his desire to be close with and to be intimate with God. And this came out of his prayer. And let me put a let me ask a challenging question to all of us. How oftentimes do we request for God to be with us in a close, intimate proximity, in a very personal way where he hears us and we hear him? He directs us and we follow. He leads us and we do whatever he is leading us to do. See, going off the possible history of the story, Jabez was struggling just because of what his name represented. But yet out of that struggle, he was like, God, bless me. Out of that struggle, he was like, God, it's not just about me, but enlarge my territory, my area of influence. And then he was like, God, I just don't want this to be about me. I need you to be with me. I need you to enable me and to allow me to do the things that I, Jabez, I can't do. And then he just kind of sealed it with a portrayal of who he really was and his desire to be pleasing unto the Lord. He says that you would keep me from evil. He wanted to be blessed. He wanted larger territory. He wanted to walk with God. And he sealed the deal so that I don't do any harm. In other words, so I don't sin. Or to keep me from evil so that I don't do any harm. In other words, Lord, give me strength to say no when I need to say no. Give me strength to walk away when I need to walk away. Give me strength to love when I really don't want to love. Give me strength to like someone that I really don't like. Give me strength to keep my mouth shut and not to be a smart aleck when everything in me is like wanting to lash out in verbiage. See, this is such a personal but yet so profound prayer. And I love how the ending goes. It says, so God granted him what he requested. God granted the blessing. God granted the enlargement of territory. God granted his own accompanying spirit. God granted the strength and the wisdom to steer away from evil. And if God, in my mindset, if God would grant these petitions, these requests to a no-name fella in the Bible, just an average Joe, someone that we don't know anything about, someone that just so randomly was just stuck in the Bible somewhere, didn't have a history, didn't have a future, just a single prayer unto God. If God would answer that kind of just average fella, I think God loves us so much that he would answer our prayers just as well. That God will answer the prayer for you guys to be blessed. That God will answer the prayer for moms and dads, our territories to enlarge, for us as a church, our domain to increase. See, I believe God would answer the prayer if we asked with our heart, Lord, would you please walk with me? Would you please sit with me? Would you please be with me? No matter where I go, no matter what I do. And I believe he will answer the prayer to help us steer away, to stay away from, to say no to the temptation of sin that tries to cause us to fall every single day of our life in multiple ways. Amen? Such a simple prayer with such a profound experience with God. Because God requested it. I want to challenge you. Children, I want to challenge you. Moms and dads, adults, I want to challenge you. Sit down with God and pray your guts out. Pray your heart out. You know what I like about this verse? It wasn't a long prayer. Sometimes we think the longer the prayer, the more godly the prayer. And there is times when you got to like pound the pavement and just kind of have a good amount of time with God. But there's other times, just a simple, simple prayer from the heart that's short and sweet is all we need to get God to respond to our heart. Amen? So I want to leave us with this. Let's go on to the next slide. It's called the five-finger prayer. How many of you have ever heard of the five-finger prayer? A few of you? There's a few varieties in it. So the variety that I have today might be a little bit different than you're used to. Now, I'm not talking about the five-handed point of ministry. Anybody know what a five, or the five-fold ministry, that's what it is. Anyone know what the hand of five-fold ministry is? It's like when you want to five-fold those fingers and give somebody a ministry with a good old pop. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the five-finger open hand of ministry is when someone spouts off and you want to give them a pop. No, we're talking about five areas of prayer that is very simple. So can I get all the kids to stand up? All right, all the kids to stand up. Can you hold, and moms and dads, you don't have to stand up, but if everyone would, can we see five fingers? So each finger, it don't work that way, Javi. Each finger represents something we can pray about. And families, this is something so easy, you can be reminded of how to pray with your children. So the first finger we come across is the thumb. Can I see your thumb? Your thumb is the closest finger to you. So at night, or whenever, you can hold your fingers up and look at your thumb, and you think about the people that is closest to you you should pray about. Who's someone that's close to you that you would like to pray for?
My family.
Your family, exactly. So our family is close to us. Our neighbors is close to us. Our friends are close to us. So we can pray for anybody that the Holy Spirit brings to mind that is close to us. Okay, so we got the five again, right? Now we got the index finger. The index is our pointer finger. So everyone, point it in front of you. The pointer finger can remind us to pray for people that's far away from us. So maybe you have family members that live in another state. Or maybe there's missionaries that God has placed on your heart that's doing a work in Africa or Asia somewhere. Or maybe you have social media friends. How many of you have distant social media friends? All right? They might be all over the world. They're distant. So we look at our hand. Our thumb is the people that's closest to us. Our index finger is the people that's far away from us, and we pray for them. Okay, now let's see your five again. Let's keep it palm forward. Now we got the middle finger. Don't put no other finger down. I do not want you to give me a California wave today, all right? Or you might get a southern response. It's the tallest finger, which represents leaders. So we can look at our tallest finger. We can look at the middle finger, and we can be reminded to pray for our leaders in our communities. This can be to pray for our law enforcement. They have a hard, tough job. We can pray for our teachers. We can pray for our mayors and our city councils. You can pray for your pastors. I need you to pray for me. I got to deal with some crazy local people. You can pray for the president, the vice president, any leader, any person of head that comes to your mind. You can look at that tall finger and you can pray for a leader. Okay, so we got five again. Now is the ring finger. The ring finger is the weakest finger in the hand. Every other finger will stand up on its own. You can push it back and it will stay. Try to push your ring finger back and cause it to stay. Can you do that? Try it. There's no way. The ring finger will not stand up on its own. I don't care if you are like a He-Man. Like the Rock. The Rock is all meat, right? He will not get his finger to stand up on its own. So, well, what does that remind us? It reminds us to pray for the weak people of the world. Reminds us to pray for people who's sick. It reminds us to pray for people who is poverty. Stand back up, you guys. Come on. Stand up, kiddos. Young, full of energy. Reminds us to pray for people in need. Just reminds us to pray for anybody that has any kind of weakness whatsoever. Does that make sense? And now we come to the pinky finger. Let me see your little finger. Now, oftentimes, what the pinky represents usually is prayed for first. It's last, but it's not least. It's the smallest finger of the bunch, and it represents us. Now, oftentimes, people pray for we pray for ourselves first, right? We pray for good grades. We pray for to be on that sports team. We pray for a new bike or a new Xbox or new clothes. We pray for a new house, a new car, a new job. Pray for God to change our spouse. How many times has that been answered? Better watch out, fellas and ladies. But in all reality, the Bible says the Bible is so full of knowledge about giving and being selfless and putting others before you. And so it's just only wise, and it actually shows a good and pure heart to pray for ourselves last. To not be so consumed with our wants, our needs, our likes. Because if we're not careful, when we start praying about ourselves first, we can forget about the people close to us. We can forget about the people far from us. We can forget about our leaders. We can forget about the weak. And so let's start with other people first, our leaders third, the weak fourth, and then we can dive into me, myself, and I. Does that make sense? Now, and here's the cherry on top. We can all come together in one mind and one accord. Can you put your hands together? And we can unify with one another in praying for people close, people far, leaders, the weak, and even ourselves. See, we should do this as family. We should do this as a church. We should do this in our small groups. We should come together and pray unified in our children's ministry, our youth ministry, at restaurants, when you're chilling out, having a barbecue at someone's house, and you get on the topic of a need or people who are weak, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit prompts you just to stop right then and there and just pray for whomever you're talking about. So we got the five areas of prayer, and then we come together unified, praying on behalf of whomever we're praying for. Does that make sense to everybody? You guys can take it easy. I'm closing with this. I still managed to talk over 30 minutes, my Lord. Mom and dad, kiddos, it's so, so important to make sure prayer is a daily activity in our life. And it's so important, dads and moms, that at different times you go to your children and you lay hands on them and you pray for them. Not just coming together and praying in a group way, but going to your child, wherever they might be. Could be laying in bed. They could be sitting on a couch. They could be even sitting at a desk. It's going to them, laying your hand on them, and declaring the promises of Almighty God. Declaring the virtues and the principles of the Lord over your babies. Putting your hands upon them and binding up Satan and rebuking his plan of attack and his order and his desire to steal, kill, and destroy our children. So today is a kid's day. It's a day that we emphasize family. And I really felt in my heart when I was prepping for this yesterday for me to emphasize the need for us to be families of prayer. Couples of prayer, families of prayer, husbands of prayer, wives of prayer, fathers of prayer, mothers of prayer, children of prayer. Because prayer is simply having conversations with God, and those conversations with God has an underlying foundation of faith. And the Bible says faith is what pleases God, and it's faith that moves mountains. But if we don't take the step of faith that it causes us to have conversations with God and commune and talk with Him, how is our mountains going to be removed? Jesus stood up in the middle of a storm while He was sleeping in a boat. And this shows us the principle of being ready in season and out of season. He stood up in a boat and He looked at the storm and He rebuked the storm and He simply said, "Peace, be still." Moms and dads, I want to challenge you today. Be ready in season and out of season to rise and stand up and pray over your families. Pray over your children. Pray over your sons and pray over your daughters and pray over your wives and pray over your husbands and be ready in season and be ready out of season. Be ready to turn that TV off and say, "Guys, I feel like I need to pray for us right now." Be ready to lay the spoon and fork down in the middle of dinner and say, "Guys, I feel in my heart I need to pray right now." Be ready to pull that car over on the side of the road and say, "Guys, we need to have a moment of prayer right now. Something is going on in our family that only God can take control of." I want to challenge you, moms and dads, to not be overwhelmed by the cares of the world, by the situations of life, by the desires, the passions, and the dreams, that we forget about the power and the act of faith that comes along from praying unto God with a totally committed and trusting heart. Amen? Amen? Come on, say it like you mean it, somebody. Amen? Wow. Moms and dads, can you do that? Amen. So this, all right, shut up. I done had enough. No, that's awesome. So this is what I want to do. However you guys can powwow up, moms and dads, if you need to go to your kids, or kids, if you need to go to your moms and dads, I want our families just to come together in our each only family minute. So go, family unit. So kiddos, go ahead and go to your parents, or parents, you come to your kids. If we have a child here that is not with moms and dads, then moms and dads, adopt that child. Bring them over into your unit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.